Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I recall the first time I had to preach on the Transfiguration. I was 30 years old. I looked at the scripture and I stayed up all night. How do you describe something that's indescribable? And I thought that after some time doing this, it would get easier. And so each year when I would see that scripture verse, I thought, oh no. Maybe if I just write something else on the top of the page, people will forget that it's Transfiguration. I won't have to deal with it. And after 30 years, I still have a problem. How do you explain the unexplainable? And I look at a lot of commentaries to get some advice and look at how they've described it. And I was looking this past time at people who were smarter than me, who were writing about the Transfiguration, and especially about illustrations. How can I illustrate it? And so one very bright professor was talking about an illustration about Frodo and the ring from J.R.R. Tolkien, a fantasy, and I thought, that's not helpful to me. And then I had an epiphany. The heavens cleared, and I had quite an epiphany, but it was too late. The epiphany was, this happens every year, Dawn. You have vacation time. Why don't you have somebody else preach and take a vacation day? Maybe I'll remember that for next year when it comes up. So I do understand Elisha in the Old Testament, when he sees the glory and he sees his master taken away, and before he sees that, he says, I want double what you have. And when he sees him flying away, he just starts shouting about chariots of fire and horsemen. And he cries and he runs his clothes. I can understand that. I can understand when Peter blathers about, you know, this is really good. We'll build something here. I like what I see. You know, maybe we'll charge admission and we'll put out a spread so other people can have it. He didn't know what to say. And at least he said something. The other two disciples just stood there going, what do you say? I understand. I understand when I'm in worship and I sense the glory of God and I sense that heaven and earth have somehow converged and tears unbidding come down my face, and I try not to show that because some people after service have said, are you okay? And it's not that I'm sad. It's not that I'm upset about anything. It's just a response to something I cannot explain. Have you been there? I've been there at Scandia Village Nursing Home when I've gone to the health center and our services are in the same room where bingo takes place and where all the activities are happening. Every day there's some kind of an activity. And then on Sunday we turn that place into a holy place, and the minute the first hymn sounds, I sense the presence of Almighty God. Has it happened to you? When heaven and earth converge, and for a moment we sense glory and we don't know how to describe it. So I'm not going to try to describe it to you today because I really can't. All I know is that when that happened, when that transformational event happened, the people who had been with Jesus for 3 years, the people who had seen miracle after miracle, the people who had been at his feet hearing his teaching about God the Father, all of a sudden saw him in a very different light, and that experience carried them through very dark days. You know what the darkness was? Because soon after that, he was betrayed. Soon after that, one of their own turned on them. Soon after that, He was taken in by authorities. This man that they thought was invincible was paraded through the streets and mocked and destroyed. Soon after that, the terror of Rome came down on that little band, and they were plunged into absolute darkness. And I believe the reason that the gospel writers put that story in there, a story that was indescribable, that they even had a hard time trying to put words to, was to remind us that heaven and earth at times will converge because God is still God. And when we're in the darkness and we don't see anything, we have to remind ourselves of the experience of God's glory, because sometimes that's the only thing that will bring us through the darkness. I wonder when Peter denied Jesus, why he didn't destroy himself like Judas had done. But perhaps it was because he knew that there was something there. And he had to hold on to hope, even in the bitterness and the disappointment, how angry he was with himself. When we're in darkness, it's these experiences of heaven, the glimpse of glory that we have, even when darkness seems to obliterate all. There have been times in my life that I cannot pray, that there has been such grief that all I can do is shout to the heavens and say, why? And yet I hold on, because there are times in this worship that I have been transported to the glory of God. And we hold on to those experiences, and they inform everything we have done. You can imagine the first century folks who were reading these words. These people who were in persecution, Christianity was a hostile religion. Nobody cared about Christians. People who named the name of Christ were routinely rounded up and killed. And they read that this Jesus, who they were following, was transformed, and that they had seen a glimpse of the divine. And that could hold them over till their journey's end. The veil was lifted for one split second, and sometimes that's all it takes. So I understand when people blither in the presence of God. I understand when the jaws get slacked and they don't know what to say. And I understand that we preachers can only tell you so much. But there are times, and I hope you find them, not only in this sacred place, but I hope when you're traveling up 42 and you see the beauty of our peninsula, that you'll get that glimpse of heaven. I hope that when you're in the waiting room of a loved one and you're waiting to hear news, that you get a glimpse. I hope that when we're at funerals and we're in the darkness of grief, that we get a glimpse. Hold on to the glory of God that we've experienced here today. It's not just for today. It's to inform us all week long, even when the darkness descends. Let us pray. Lord, I wish I had words. But perhaps what we need to do is stand in this holy place and experience once again heaven on earth. So I pray for all of those who have been heartsick today, who have come here with burdens that are too heavy to bear and have been waiting for a glimpse. Lord, in your mercy, we ask that you lift the veil between heaven and earth and give that dear soul a glimpse of you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.